This business is owned and operated by the AMS, your student society.
Sexy in Van City Radio may contain adult content. Listener discretion is advised. You are listening to Sexy in Van City Radio on 101.9 FM, CITR.
Mustang Sally. Guess you better slow than Mustang down. Mustang Sally, my baby. Guess you better slow than Mustang down. You've been running all over town. Oh, I guess you gotta put your flat feet on the ground. Sing it through one more time, girls.
Turning point for the commitments?
That's a good question, Terry. I think it has to be when Wilson Pickett came and played with us in a small club in Dublin.
That must have been quite a thrill, Jimmy.
It will be if the fucker turns up, Terry.
You are listening to Sexy in Van City Radio on 101.9 FM, CITR. Sexy in Van City Radio may contain adult content. Listener discretion is advised.
Well, hello there. Welcome to Sexy in Van City Radio 101.9 FM on CITR. And as you heard the censors, you're listening, and be careful because we might say something that might be a little too sexy for your ears out there. So anyway, welcome to the show, and we're very glad to have you, whether or not you're listening via podcast on a different day or whether you're listening live, which I hope you're listening live, because I find things that are live a little bit more sexy. Anyway, tonight I've got a couple very special guests on the show, and they are calling in, which is very super duper sexy, because I like things on the phone as well as in person. So welcome, Mr. Jason Sugar and Jesse.
Hey, Caroline.
Hello there.
Hey, Caroline.
And Jesse, I don't know your last name.
James.
Jesse James. Interesting. So tonight, my listeners out there, a lot in the last little bit, we've been talking a lot about women's issues with International Women's Day and just a little bit behind us. And we've had a lot on in terms of women's groups, a lot of really fantastic work that women are doing in terms of self-growth and relational work. And I'm really excited because the guys are on tonight and we're going to be chatting a little bit about the mankindproject.org. And it's a men's project, which I find really, really, really exciting. So guys, why don't you tell me a little bit about the project? Jason, do you want to start?
Sure, yeah. Thanks, Caroline.
You're welcome.
It's a men's community, and I got to say, first of all, until this organization, I've never been involved in any men's work or men's communities. So it's been a really it's been a it's a new experience, and it's been an amazing experience for me. Last April, there was a weekend that I attended, and that's where I actually met Jesse. And it was put on, it's called the New Warrior Training Adventure Weekend, and it was put on by the Mankind Project, and it's put on two or three times a year. And the organization is really, I don't know, it's about, you know, what does it mean to be a man?
So what is their mission in terms of that, in terms of discovering how to be a man? Because I love the word warrior. It's pretty sexy and really strong, which are things I do think about when I think of men.
Mm-hmm.
But what do you think about, because you are a man, so you've got a completely different perspective than I do, coming from it from a woman's perspective.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think one of the missions is to challenge men to find and develop their own light, their own life mission.
Hmm.
And, you know, what's important to me as a man, who am I in the world as a man? I mean, as many other things too, but this focus is as a man, and what is my contribution, and what do I bring as a man to the world and to my relationships?
And I think that's really important work. One of the things that I talk about sometimes on the show is the fact that I honestly believe that even though I applaud the women who went ahead and fought for women's rights, sometimes I think we've lost a little bit in that battle, where one of the key things is I don't believe that men and women have really clearly defined roles in relational. And sometimes I think that hurts us. So I'd love to know your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I do have some thoughts on that. Jesse, did you want to say anything?
I'm fascinated listening at the moment.
Okay. Well, I remember, I think this might have been in the context of, it doesn't matter. But one thing I can remember is where there's sort of three different kinds of relationships between men and women, or let's say, I guess we can include men and men relationships, or homosexual relationships as well, where you have two partners, and the one who's playing the masculine role is, you know, the butch dominating, you know, under my thumb, I'll have the other one under my thumb kind of masculine role, and then where the other, and the woman, or the woman is, you know, subservient and kowtowing to the man, and yes, there's a real sexual chemistry,
mm-hmm.
But there's a real inequality and a real, And then the second level is where I think sort of like during the 70s, where there was women became more powerful and came more into their power and taking on somewhat of a more masculine role, and men stepping down more into a feminine role, kind of more spineless and, well, whatever you want to do, hey, I'm easy, I'm cool, let's just go with the flow. And women are to, like, take charge. And that's maybe great from an equality standpoint, but it's not great for sexual chemistry, because then you've got a man who's not being a man, and you've got a woman who's not really being a woman.
Oh, you've got a man who's feeling demasculated and a woman who wants to be dominated in some way a little bit. And I don't speak for all women out there, but I do know there is a part of me deep down that sometimes wishes that we'd go back to the caveman days, where a man would just maybe not be a really aggressive about it in terms of clubbing me over the head and throwing me over his shoulder and grabbing me by the hair and saying, "Yo, mine," you know, and grabbing me and taking me back to the cave, because there's something really lovely about that ownership.
Well, that one, yeah, the third possibility in a relationship, which I think is the ideal, which it includes what you've just said. It includes a man being in their power, so
mm-hmm.
me being in my power, and all that's beautiful and wonderful about being a man, and you as a woman being in your
power.
Female power, and all that's beautiful about that, and at the same time, we have the mutual respect, and we have the communication, and then we have it all. Then we have the best of everything.
I think that sounds fantastic. So in terms of the Mankind Project, what did you, when you went into it, Jason, I'm going to keep on with you, and Jesse, feel free to jump in at any time, but Jason, when you what made you decide to take it in the first place? Like, what was it about it? Because there's lots of men's groups out there. Why this one? Why this weekend?
Yeah, okay. Well, first of all, I would say this is in a context of me doing a lot, over the last 3 years, a lot of personal development work, a lot through Landmark Education,
mm-hmm.
Some James Ray. And so I was very much in the space of like I say, personal exploration and my own development. And then Oh, and I was a member of Center for Spiritual Living, which is a non-religious spiritual gathering community. And there was a man who I very, very much respected and do respect in that community. His name is Pat. And he told me about the Mankind Project. And he said, he told me a little bit about what it was. And he said he thought I would really get
benefit
a lot out of the
it.
Experience. Yeah. And so, you know what? It was through a few conversations, but it's based on my trust and respect of him that I did it. And I think that's how most men end up doing it, is through a referral from someone they respect.
And what did you think you might? What did you think it was going to be about when you first signed on with it?
I didn't really know, and he wouldn't say much.
I think it's also important to mention that we're not official spokespeople of the Mankind Project.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, but I would like to know your opinion, and I value that as well, Jesse. Thank you.
And, that's for other men listening out there, too. We haven't been brought on this evening to talk about to sell the program of the Mankind Project.
That's right, yeah. This is our own personal experience. And
where it's evolved in terms of your development for that, because that's where you two met, which we'll be talking about.
What's interesting about it is what it provides in the culture at this time, as well as other organizations like that.
And what does it provide for our culture at this time?
As me being a part of the culture, the clearest thing it provides for me is a group of men in front of which I also can experience being a man.
And what does it mean in terms of being a man?
Sorry?
What does it mean in terms of being a man in today's society?
What I'm talking about specifically is identification with a community. Like, women tend to be more relational, and men tend to be more achievement on their own kind of thing, or they get together in competitive groups to beat somebody else. And the way of connecting in organizations like this is different.
So
maybe it's more closely aligned to coaching programs and personal accountability, that kind of thing.
Okay. So what did you each learn in regards to this?
When we were talking earlier, I mentioned to you the shadow.
Mm-hmm. But would you tell our listeners?
Well, not being a psychologist myself, but the shadow side can be most easily understood as something that destroys us just before the point of succeeding, gets in the way and does self-sabotage to our intentions of creating a life for ourselves.
So, for example, would that be a lot of core beliefs, for example, that tend to manifest and, for example, say you think you're never going to make it or this really sucks and nobody really believes in me, where you kind of manifest that in your own life because that is what your core belief is. So no matter what you do, until you actually release those beliefs, that keeps manifesting its life, proving itself over and over and over again to yourself?
Mm-hmm. So whatever I talk about and feel to the core of my being, that's exactly what I'll create.
Mm-hmm.
If it's pessimism, despair, and suicide, then I'll make that, sure. Or if it's having fun with the creative colleagues that I have in my life and doing the best work possible, then that will happen too.
So would you say it would be...
And that's what's happening too.
Okay. Would you say, Jesse, that it's a very cognitive process? And when I say cognitive, where it has to do with focusing and becoming aware of what your thought processes are in terms of being able to control the emotions as well and actually fully be in the moment?
As far as fully being in the moment, I found that most direct access is through my body and my breath.
Your body, and what was the second part of that? I'm sorry, I didn't catch that.
And my breath.
Breath. I definitely agree with that. You definitely need to be in your body. Nice deep inhalations and everything, whether or not it be for sexual or even just for just being present in general.
It's the quickest way to create a sense of presence
mm-hmm.
at the present moment. Stop, drop energy, breathe in, look around, hear everything, see everything.
Mm-hmm. And it's very good in terms of sexuality as well, in terms of just basic tantra, in terms of actually starting off with eye gazing, really acknowledging partner, matching your breath patterns, and just really focusing. I think it's really key, but I think that can be transferred into so many different areas of our life.
But that's interesting. It's actually seen in conversations with Willie that is that what you just described.
Which I can't wait to get onto that, because we'll be chatting about that after the break, which at this time we're going to just take a teeny little short break. And when we get back, I think it's going to be really exciting, because we'll talk about Conversations with Willie, which is a play, which I'm looking forward to hearing a lot more about. You've been listening to Sexy in Van City Radio on 101.9 FM on CITR. We will be right back after this break.
Is Natasha Ryan Moreau, but now I am playing with my breast again. Nothing to do. Sometimes I listen to Misery Hour with Hans Close Wednesday at 11 before midnight. I don't think I like it.
Hi, and we are back at Sexy in Van City Radio 101.9 FM on CITR. And if you're just joining us, I'm chatting to Jason Sugar and Jesse, and we are just about to start chatting about a work called Conversations with Willie. Welcome back to the show, guys.
Thanks, Caroline.
Thanks very much.
You're welcome. So tell me a little bit about the play.
Well, the play Conversations with Willie will be arriving at the Scotiabank Dance Center May 18th to the 22nd. It's returning from last September. We did two sold-out performances of it. What's it about?
Mm-hmm. I think I can imagine a little bit, but I want to hear your words.
Well, what do you know, knowing nothing in advance?
Well, conversations, the word Willie has a lot of different connotations, but I'd like to hear, you've got such a great voice, I'd like to hear it all in your words, Jesse. And Jason's too. And yes, I'm flirting with both of you, so please continue to elaborate.
Isn't that your job?
In terms of flirting?
Yeah. I mean, you get to be online doing that kind of thing with special guests all the time.
Oh, I don't know. It depends. I think flirting in general, it's just making people feel good and being sincere. Sometimes I think of the word flirt, it's a fun word.
That's definitely
healthy.
Who you are for me, Caroline. Awesome.
You create rapport and comfort.
Thank you. Flattery will get you everywhere, but I do want, what I want is I do want to hear about it, and I'm sorry I interrupted, because I'm very intrigued about what is Conversations with Willie about.
But do you know Conversations with God, the book by Neil Donald Walsh?
I'm not familiar with it. Could you tell our listeners in about 100 words or less what that book's about?
It's about a guy who can't figure out what to do with his life. He stands on the side of a cliff. He calls out for help, and God answers. And they have a conversation, and he writes it down and publishes many books of what he and God talked. They're out in the bookshop now. So bear that one in mind. And have you seen the Vagina Monologues?
I have. I love the Vagina Monologues. It's a fantastic piece. And they also...
You have seen it?
I've seen it several times. And we've actually... And when I used to juice box with the lovely Julia Saunders, who was my old co-host, we've done the moaning and the fake orgasm, the dominatrix one at the very end. So, yes, I'm very familiar with it. I'm very familiar with actually all of Eve's work, actually, other than the very last play that's just come out that I've been itching to get my fingers on a copy of.
Okay. One about fat, I think. That body image?
No, The Good Body came out, and there's a more recent one, actually, about girls, and I'll have to Google it, actually, while we're on a break, just to pull it up, but it was one that I wanted to actually pick up for Valentine's Day, because it came out just before then. It was on my wish list for Valentine's, but I didn't get it for Valentine's, so hopefully one of the listeners out there may send me a copy, buy me an online copy, or something like that. Because I think it's a really sexy thing, and it was conversations with girls all around the world.
Cool.
But I want to hear about you.
Ask me what this show is about.
Mm-hmm.
Between Conversations with God meets the Vagina Monologues.
But
and it's one man's conversation with Willie.
And I'm taking it Willie is not a vagina.
No,
I'm glad. I've never heard of a vagina called Willie.
No, Willie is the part of the male anatomy.
That's what I thought, but I want to clarify that and hear that from your words.
Just so there are no surprises. That's... Except that if you know that, there will be endless surprises in the show.
Really?
Because whatever you think it is, it's definitely not.
So is it an improv show?
Nope, it's scripted and rehearsed. And you can also, your viewers can actually follow the backstory of it, how two of the characters met and drove Willie to actually speak. That's happening online at conversationswithwillie.com.
There's, and also on Facebook.
I was just going to say, because Jason did send me the Facebook link, which is how I heard about it originally, because Jason touched base with me in that regard. For our listeners who may not have access because they're too busy listening to the show right now, and will probably check it out afterwards, do you want to tell them a little bit about that?
About the fan page and the website?
No, in regards to the video clips that you've got on there.
Oh, about the video clip backstories.
Please,
yeah.
Thank you.
That's more interesting.
It's very interesting.
it is. So we are using online social networks and so on to tell the backstory. So we're creating a whole another play that's a series of webisodes and blogs that are back and forth between two of the characters who meet in online chat room. So that's part of the story that we can't actually do on the stage, because the story on stage happens at the end of that. So if you want background, you can go online and look at it at conversationswithwillie.com.
And you can join
in the conversation and certainly have an opinion about who these people are. Discuss your own issues about sex, intimacy, and codependence, if you're that way inclined. Our aim is to create dialogue, and after each of the performances each night, we encourage the audience to take part in sharing their impressions. So it's a kind of open forum, and the play is a catalyst for that.
And so is it a one-act play, a two-act play?
It's, call it two acts. There's an intermission.
Okay.
And the focus is on it being an experience.
In terms of an experience, would you describe it as a drama, a comedy, a thriller in a different way?
An experience.
An experience, but that could be a multitude of things. And you're not giving anything away. And this is radio. We need to paint pictures in people's heads because they don't...
It will be exciting, thrilling, funny, provocative, challenging, touching... Edgy and uncomfortable sometimes.
Paint me a picture.
And there's a wonderful cast of five outstanding performers.
Tell me a little bit about the relationship between the characters that we see in the chat room that you're putting up online, using the blog as well to do the backstory, so people can start following it beforehand. But tell me a little bit about their relationship. How do they meet and why do they meet? And what are your thoughts personally on online dating, just out of curiosity?
Excellent. You're really good.
Are you flirting with me or are you avoiding the question?
No, I'm appreciating your abilities as an interviewer.
Thank you.
Yeah. What's the question?
I was going to ask, what is the relationship and what in regards to the two people that we get to see the backstory on? And what are your personal take in terms of online online dating?
You're even better, considering you could repeat both of those.
Thank you. I breathe.
The online backstory are two of the characters named Richard and Jane. The characters that appear are Dick, Jane, and Sally. And those of us who can remember reading books in elementary school, those were the characters. But they're somewhat older now, and they've had a life, and not all lives turn out as planned.
Oh, I don't think they ever do.
No, Well, you can consider that they're the same people grown up, but not really. And they meet online through chatting.
All three of them?
All three of them?
Well, you said Dick, Jane, and Sally.
Richard and Jane.
Okay.
Richard and Jane meet online and have an encounter. So that's what can be followed, their story evolving and what they mean to each other and the themes of sex, love, intimacy, and codependence are examined through them, through those stories. There's one episode online now. The next episode will be going up this weekend, and that would be at conversationswithwilly.com. And then you click on the top on backstory.
Okay.
Easy to find.
Interesting. In terms of with chat rooms, and now especially with Skype and all sorts of different mediums, even on MSN, if you're on Messenger, you can actually, if you've got video, and most people do in terms of their computers these days.
Mm-hmm.
How have you found, because you mentioned chat rooms, and I just wanted to clarify, you didn't mean MSN or Skype or anything like that. That it was an actual room where other people could be in there? I just wanted to clarify that.
No, it was private conversations back and forth between the two of them.
Okay.
Either through video chat or text blogging.
Okay, and I'm going to ask both of you. Jason, I've known you for a very long time, and in terms of dating in Vancouver in particular, with online dating, how, as men, it'd be interesting to hear the male perspective. Because I honestly believe that online dating is here to stay, and a lot of people do it. And even because we are part of a fast food culture these days, how do you find it? Is it good, bad, ugly? What are your thoughts?
Well, okay. To be honest, the last time I tried online dating was quite a few years ago, and I don't remember it being a very satisfying or fulfilling experience. And ironically, lately I've been thinking, so I'm single, I've been single for a few months, and I
for
haven't...
A few months? Did you say single for a few months?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Haven't I been single for a few months?
No, I don't know.
Yeah, since last fall. And I hear nothing but great things about online dating now from a number of friends and people in my community.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody just told me about OkCupid, which all I hear about is Plenty of Fish, which people seem to be having a good experience on. And then somebody told me that OkCupid is so much better because, and I haven't checked it out, so this is hearsay, but it's a more interesting and engaging way of, they have an interesting and engaging way of bringing yourself out into a profile so that people's experience of each other is more real and more more authentic. And these days I feel quite open to the idea, and I just haven't had time. I mean, who has time? But I'll tell you, in the last year or so, maybe, I'm not good with time, but I've really become quite active on Facebook in terms of creating, you know, bringing myself out, you know, like, what do I care about, what's important to me, what am I talking about, and I remember sort of consciously making that step where for a while I was just kind of sitting back and watching people, what people were doing, and now I'm right out there, and I'm talking about what's important to me, and I can talk more about what is important to me if there's time or if you want. But my experience is that I'm visible, and I enjoy that. I'm enjoying that, stepping out into the world and connecting with all kinds of people across all kinds of boundaries, and making connections along the lines of things that we care about, that are mutually interesting and important. So, anyways. Yeah, I'm open. I think, and like I say, I've heard lots of great stories about people connecting and having great relationships that started from online.
Mm-hmm. No, actually, one of my really, really dear friends, actually someone you know, Jason, actually just found her boyfriend on OkCupid, so it's
okay,
pretty cool. So
right
she
on.
Was mentioning that to me the other day. And right I do think, I think it's an interesting thing in terms of online dating. I know MSN.com actually did a study, and I believe it was 2006, and I may have that incorrect. I'll have to double-check my stats. But in regards to that, they were saying there's just been a huge increase, partly because in Canada in particular, just the laws at work where people sometimes are afraid to flirt at work because of just sexual harassment. People are working longer hours. We are behind the computer. And because people used to always meet either through friends at religious organizations or through work. And that was how people always met before, for a very, very long time. And now that work is kind of out of the picture, we don't go to the church as much, or synagogue, or mosque, but we spend a lot of time now not in those places. So with that, it's like we needed another medium. So that's one of the reasons why there's an increase for that.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And I've got mixed feelings on it. I think it's good as long as you are defined in terms of what you want. And I think I applaud both of you for doing all the self-growth work, because I think that's really important, because I think you really do need to know who you are before you can reach out and find something else out there and try and find an us. Because before there's I have to know who me is, and that other person needs to know who the you is before
absolutely
you can make an us. And
very
I think
well
that's
said.
Really, really
and that's
key.
One of the themes of the show of Conversations with Willie, too.
Yeah, it very that, much is.
That came up often. You said it really well, and it could have been said after the show.
Oh, thank you.
and was just like, I mean, in a way, just like that.
Thank you.
There's a marriage in the show, but I don't want to give that away.
And I'll tell you, my involvement in the show is very much, probably mostly, well, it is mostly due to what I consider to be a transformational message. I mean, the intention of the show, and certainly my intention, is, and I know Jesse's intention, is to engage people in the conversation. For what's possible in relationship, and you know, by shining a light on a lot of stuff that doesn't work.
a lot of stuff that doesn't work.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that just doesn't work. And
check it out, you won't believe it.
Believe me, I've lived in a lot of the ones that don't work, and I honestly think sometimes we do need to go through it, and it's important to shine that light on that to create awareness and really prompt those conversations like you're doing, which I applaud you guys with this. This is fantastic.
It's very exciting. I'm really excited about creating this, bringing this conversation into the world and engaging people in an interesting way. And so it's fun, it's funny, it's a little bit disturbing, it's provocative, and so it's certainly entertaining, but it's also it also creates something positive and forwards the conversation for authentic, intimate relationships between people.
And what do you define as an authentic, intimate relationship?
You put your finger on I think the cornerstone of it, which is, for me, it's if I'm complete in myself, if I get that, if I love myself and I honor myself and I accept myself, you know, with all the stories and all the program, all the baggage, whatever you want to say, all the stuff. But if I accept all of that and I'm responsible for all of that, and that's one of the messages in the Mankind Project, is where men are encouraged and supported, more importantly, in being responsible, taking ownership of all of ourselves, and coming into relationship from that place, from where it's, I am responsible for my feelings, my thoughts, my actions. And of course, this isn't particular to men, but this just happens to be a men's organization. But when two people, like you said, Caroline, come into a relationship where they are being responsible fundamentally for who they are, and they know who they are and they love who they are, then you have a space of possibility. Then you have a space of connection. And so that's the beginning of it. And then I would say intimacy, I love, somebody said once, into me you see. You know, seeing each other openly, letting ourselves be seen, letting myself be seen, and really looking at the other person, so both being seen and seeing. I think that is the most beautiful experience a human being can have. And you can, you know, you can express that physically, sexually, emotionally, mentally, you know, really being seen, expressing who you are and being experienced.
I think that's really well put, Jason. The other thing I'm going to add on to that for those who are listening out there, and my regular listeners hear me talk about this a lot, is there's some really great resources out there in terms of getting to there if you're in a relationship at this time or if you're searching for a relationship. Harville Hendricks has got some great works, which I think as long as you've done your homework in terms of taking care of you and constantly... I like to think of ourselves as almost like as gardens where you have to keep constantly weeding. You got to make sure you know, just because you reach that beautiful flower where if you've turned into a rose and, you know, you've blossomed and bloomed, that you got to remember that there's different stages where we do wilt at different times. But as long as you keep that soil, keep turning it, keep pulling those weeds out, and it's a process. And you keep taking care of you. I think work like Harville Hendricks' work, which he uses imago, is his technique he uses, which as an example, with my current relationship, even though I always focus on myself a lot because I love me a lot, and my partner loves himself as well. And I always try and make sure I do at least three things every day, specifically for him. And with that, that's one of Harville's things, where you're always trying to do things for the other person. But I also am a huge believer in, and I forget who it's by, but it's one I'm quoting from constantly, the five languages of love. Because there's different ways people need to be honored, and you touched on some of them. For example, physical. Some people need words of affirmation. Other people, you know, taking the garbage out for somebody or making them dinner, that is an act of service, and it's really, really key. Other things like having quality time spent with that person. And for other people, it's gifts. And sometimes, depending on our culture, our background, there's different ways we need to be honored. And sometimes, even if I've done all my work on me, you've done all your work on you, and we've got our us, if we're not paying attention and we don't acknowledge where, for example, myself, I need quality time, and it's one of those things I need in abundance. As an example, whereas my partner, he needs acts of service is really, really key. And I'm not talking sexual stuff all the time. I'm talking things like, you know, making his lunch in the morning and writing him a little love letter, just telling him how much I care about him or something I think about. And then he gets to open that midday. Like things like that, where we both have different ways in terms of the way we need to be loved, and just acknowledging that we're different and finding ways in that partner's language that I'm able to tell him. As opposed to trying to inflict my own personal things. I will, you know, tell him this is something I like and things like that, but being really strong with those communications, but also recognizing that there's so many different ways of communications, which is why I love that book, Five Languages of Love. Because it's important, because sometimes people are saying, I love you, but because we don't always speak the same language, we don't always recognize it as that person is saying, hey, I love you so much, and I do anything in the world for you to recognize that, how I feel.
So what I'm hearing is that if let's say a man takes the garbage out for his partner, or, you know, for the home, for the house, that is his way of saying, I love you. And if his partner doesn't realize that, then there's a missing.
Yes, and it can make him feel really bad. There's a great book by Kevin Lehman, actually. Dr. Kevin Lehman, he's on Oprah quite a bit, actually, and it's quite fascinating where they were describing, Kevin was actually describing in his book that in regards to that, just men, and it was interesting because up until this relationship, I didn't really, it was funny because I read it when Julia and I were doing Juicebox Radio, and I didn't see it as very valid. It was quite interesting. So in terms of taking out the garbage, where a man takes pride in his home, And it's really, really important to acknowledge and give them that space to do that as well, because it also is honoring them as a man. So little things like, for example, even though I know how to change a light bulb, a lot of times I will ask my partner to do it.
Yeah,
and it lets him take ownership, even though he's got other ways of doing it. But where we share in terms of chores, in terms of making dinner together sometimes, which is one of my favorite things to do when I'm actually home at night.
Hmm.
It's pretty great.
Nice.
But it's, again, it comes down to those languages of love, which in terms of...
Did you go through a learning curve yourself in learning the language, or was it always easy for you?
For that, I've definitely learned a lot, especially doing the show, and I used to write a dating column for a long time. I've made every mistake in the book, I think, at one point or the other. Maybe not every mistake, but I've definitely made quite a few amusing ones, which I used to write about, and after a while you get addicted in some way in terms of the amusement, and it's a good way, which took me a long time to realize, to disconnect. So then that way I never had to get emotionally involved for a long time. And once I finally was able to recognize that, I was able to let that go and find something really, really healthy and very good for me. But it took a long time to get to that.
Would you say that a lot of people are in unbalanced relationships?
I think in terms of people, in terms of relational, it's constantly evolving, and that's something that we have to acknowledge. And again, it comes down to we have self-care. We've also got relational care. So it's important that even though it may be perfect today, if the foundation's good, you still have to tend to that soil. You still have to take care of all those things. And recognizing that those things are going to change over time. So what may work today, you might need a different type of fertilizer tomorrow. And constantly doing things in terms of just taking care of. But also, I think the other key thing, too, is women always... We're very, in a lot of ways, and I don't want to be stereotypical about this, but as women, we are problem solvers where we always try and fix. And sometimes we try and fix things when there's not really a problem. We've just changed our opinion about something. So, for example, with a man, like say a man is somebody who's really into sports and he likes going to go watch the hockey game with his buddies like every Sunday or whenever. You can tell I'm not a sports person because I'm not sure when the hockey game is on, except for when the Olympics was on. Go Canada. But in regards to that, it's after a while... that thing that she really loved about him, where it was like, oh, he's really athletic, he goes and works out, and then he goes and hangs out with his friends, so he's obviously got really strong social skills. After a while, she doesn't value that with him anymore. And in a lot of Harville Hendrick's works, as well as Margot Danilos, who runs the Amazing Women's Network in Liberty and Success Education, where she does a lot of couples counseling, she's actually mentioned that women fall in love with men because of the man, but after a while they start changing their mind in terms of, for example, with the sports thing, where, oh, he's, you know, really into athletics and stuff like that. That's really cool that he takes care of himself. And after a while, it turns out to, oh, he's just egocentric. So it changes. And one of the things for women, which we have to remember when we're in a heterosexual relationship, is if we change our mind about our man, it affects him because he's going to feel that. And men actually, according to Harville Hendricks and Margot's teachings as well, men actually fall in love with women actually because of the way we make them feel. And is what their work's based on.
I remember the comment in acting class, because I'm an actor and I've been in lots of acting classes. One acting teacher was giving a note to an actress about what being sexy is.
Hmm.
And the actress was doing all this sex kitten type of stuff, and she said, that's not sexy at all. You know what the most sexy thing for a man is?
Confidence.
Is that you find them the most sexy person on earth.
Wow. Yeah, I can see that.
And that would totally turn on to a man if a woman finds them the sexiest thing on earth. You want to play sexy, that's the way to do it.
I think
I just picked up from what you said. I think it had something to do with it.
No, I think that's really valuable, because if the woman stops treating the man like the way she thought of him originally, he's going to pick that up. And what I try and remind women is if you start changing and wanting to try and fix him, because again, we are problem solvers. We're great in a lot of ways, but we do try and fix some things where sometimes there's no issue whatsoever. And with that, sometimes that ends up making the man feel bad. It affects his sense of self-esteem. And then that in terms where he starts treating, and then it ends up turning into the cycle. And it's not particularly healthy. So it's a matter of just...
Would you define that as codependency?
No, I think of codependency in a lot of ways, and with codependency in terms of enabling, and enabling not particularly healthy patterns. Mm-hmm. For example, like an alcoholic, for example, who basically comes home and pukes all over himself every night, and say his wife goes and cleans him up instead of leaving him in the pile of puke, so he never actually is able to acknowledge it. She's enabling him, and I see that as codependent behavior, where she acts as if nothing's happened.
And that serves some kind of need in, of her to That's be needed or
exactly, because she needs to feel needed. So in other words, she's enabling him to do something that's completely dysfunctional, which is why a lot of times when, especially in addiction issues, and for those types of relationships, whether or not it be family, whether or not it be a partner situation, a lot of times they recommend that the partner who is not the alcoholic and not dealing with the addiction actually go to Anod, so they're actually getting support so they can actually change their behavior so they don't end up causing a relapse when the other person actually gets out of treatment.
Because all the members of the family trigger each other.
Exactly.
And kick the old patterns back.
Mm-hmm. And it's so important not to do that. And I think in terms of relationships aren't easy. They're really exciting and they can be very rewarding in a lot of ways, but it can be very challenging, and it can be one of the most challenging things, but it's also, and there's such amazing, beautiful moments, and I think there's a lot of space for self-growth in there as well, just as long as it's kind of like, and I'm going to quote the prophet very badly right now, the concept of marriage, where I like to see it as two grapevines that run parallel to each other, where they never actually cross, but they go through life side by side. And I always love that, where you're not losing yourself, because I had one partner actually tell me that he was absolutely afraid of losing himself in me, and I don't really like that concept.
How did
I told
that make
him
you
that
feel?
It actually bugged me, and I actually told him straight out, I don't want you to lose yourself by giving me something. I'd like you to share something with me so you still have ownership of that. But we share. That's what that us is. It's both of us putting in, but we're not giving, we are sharing. There's a difference.
So you were enlightened by that time.
I think it's important, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it's really, really, really key.
It is really, really, really key.
In regards
to... No question about that, and it takes a very long time to learn it.
It does, and I think it's an important lesson, but I think we're constantly relearning lessons over and over again, because I think life keeps testing us, and it's like, did you really learn it that well the first time? And it's really important to just keep looking at those lessons, and sometimes just keep going. And hopefully you do learn the first time. But sometimes I think as humans, we're not perfect. It takes us time. And I think it's important for us to be able to forgive ourselves for the fact that it takes time. And I sometimes think that's part of the issue, is that we don't let ourselves forgive ourselves. And because of that, sometimes we just give up. We stop trying. And when we stop trying, well, there's nothing if there's no hope. It's kind
you
of a desolate
step off the edge of a cliff.
Yeah. Which sometimes I have to say there's freesome. There's this that freeze falling thing, which is quite lovely. But in regards to the play itself, because I know you don't want to give away too much in terms of the plot, but in regards to... What would you like to see in terms of the conversations? Why do you think these conversations are important for people to have?
In my experience as a man with men or mm-hmm. with women, the conversation around sexuality, like what is actually happening in the bodies of people and the relationship level, separating sex from the psychology of the psychological stuff and understanding the emotions more clearly in human interaction is of benefit to people. One thing I can say is that some the couples in the audience who come and see the show, and I hear the woman leaning over to the man and saying, "Is it really like that for you?" And he leans back and says, "We'll talk about it later."
Yeah, one of the things that I think... Sorry, Jesse, go ahead.
I think and I desire, and it's certainly the intention of the experience to provoke deeper thought and experience and awareness around how each person is impacted by their own sexuality and the expression of it, or the lack of expression of it, whatever that is.
Hmm.
Linked to creativity, linked to some idea of what intimacy is, and all of those issues are explored in it, and I would say in a non-linear way.
Mm-hmm. I think it's really important to talk about intimacy, especially for the talkbacks, and I'm sure it does come up. Several years ago, my old co-host Julia Saunders and I, when we used to do Juice Box Radio, took Tanya Diamond. She's the tantrateacher.com. She's out of Seattle, and I love her because she can put things in really simple layman's terms. And a lot of the work, Jesse, you'd find it really fascinating because a lot of it was very Meisner-based, actually. I found it really interesting in terms of speaking in actories. All the stuff I'd learned at theater school that I never put in perspective in my own relationships. I found that just kind of mind-blowing.
You went to theater school?
I did. I went to Studio 58 and then graduated from Gastown Actors Studio years ago.
Ah, and yes. Have you continued acting yourself?
Not as much because I've been preoccupied with a lot of charitable work that I do when I'm not doing the radio show.
And the radio show.
Yes.
That's, well, presenting yourself. You do it really well.
Well, thank you very much.
You must be doing your passion.
I enjoy everything I do. I think it's really important to enjoy things. And if you stop enjoying things in life, whether it be with a relationship, whether it be with yourself, I think as humans, we constantly have to keep asking. It's like, why? What's changed? Is it just my mood today? Or is something actually going on? And have I outgrown this and I need to continue to grow? Because if we stop growing, we really stop living. And I know that just sounds like such a bumper sticker quote, but it is true.
It is, but did you hear that, all you listeners out there?
One thing I want to say is about growing and also about the show, the value of this conversation, is being willing, you know, we're often very protective of ourselves, and certainly I can speak for myself, and I can also speak for men, I think.
Mm.
We don't want to share, or I don't want to share my fears and my worries and my concerns, and let's say in a relationship, and you know, my
and guilt and shame and humiliations.
Mm-hmm. There's resistance for me to share that, and so what this show, one of the messages of the show, and especially since we allow people to at the end of the show to interact and to there's some back and forth, there's some dialogue. We're opening that up. We're opening up, well, what does a man go through? What are some of the fears that we have and some of the issues? So sparking that dialogue. So like Jesse said, the couples that come see it can go continue afterwards and talk about that. And my intention and my vision, my dream is that we have relationships in which we can bare our souls, bare ourselves, say, listen, I'm afraid to tell you this, but I'm going to tell you anyways. Or I'm afraid to show you this side of me, or I'm afraid to acknowledge this insecurity that I have. You know, I mean, that's beautiful to be able to do that. That's growth, and that creates new connection and new and real intimacy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's really, really key to be able to be that honest.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I honestly do believe, I don't know if that was a Freudian slip or not, and honesty tempered with timing, so I think it's really, really, really key.
Timing is tactfulness. You want someone to hear you, or do you want to be right?
And I think sometimes it comes down to I hate couples that actually come up with a mission statement for their, which cracks me up, for their relationship. But
I never heard of that. Is that a new trend?
I haven't heard of that either.
Oh, I think it's just kind of a little over the top, a little psycho babble, which I think is quite funny. But in regards to... Sorry as I laugh. With that, where sometimes they take things a little bit too seriously in regards to that. Honestly, it's got to be tempered with timing, where it's got to be always constructive. So, and this is going to sound like such an HR thing in terms of human resources, but as human beings, I think it's important if you are going to give constructive criticism to somebody, for every one bad thing you say, you should temper that with a solution to what it is, and B, according to studies, they say actually you need six other things to actually balance it out, and especially if they're
good things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's what they actually recommend when you're actually giving feedback to an employee in terms of human resources. So in terms of a relationship where it's even more personal, where sometimes in terms of mission and stuff like that, in terms of you're together because you want to love each other and you want to have a happy, fulfilled life, and based on your own personal value systems and your partner's value systems, you've got your value systems that are going in there. Sometimes it's really hard to just separate the ego from it, where it's just like, okay, this is us, and what's ego and what's actually going on here? So I guess go ahead,
Jason. I'd like to do a little plug for nonviolent communication, which is something I've learned a little bit about. And in relationship, what I see works is, you know, rather than saying when you do that, you make me, you made me angry, or you make me upset, or mm-hmm. you hurt me. Rather say, when you do that, I feel this.
So you take responsibility, in other words, about how you feel. You're
exactly.
stating the fact of the situation.
Exactly.
So it'd be like, and if in response to that, if you said that to me, Jason, say you and I were in a relationship, and you said when you do that, I feel, I would actually, this is again, Harville Hendrix, How to Get the Love You Want. He's got the listening exercises in there, where I'd actually repeat back. So when this is the situation, so whatever you'd said to me, you are feeling this, well, I do that because blah, 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 blah. But I'd actually repeat back in your language, changing the pronouns as to, so I'd take ownership of that. So then that way, A, you understood, I heard what you said, and B, I'm actually using your language so you actually understand it, and I also hear it at a different level. And C, it actually helps me because I'm actually taking it in, so I actually get it a little at a deeper level, so I don't personalize it in that way, but only the sweetest way possible.
Cool.
Yeah, that's some of the Harville Hendrix work that's out there. I'm excited to see the show.
Yeah, well, listen, we're just a little bit...
I'm excited to have you come see it, too.
Yeah.
And also, this may be coincidental. I don't know. You're an actress. We're having auditions this weekend to expand the cast.
Yeah, come play with us, Caroline.
You could talk about it from the inside.
I would, but I'll actually be at the Amazing Woman's workshop this weekend. But thank you.
The whole weekend?
I will be. It's actually, for women out there actually who are interested, Liberty Education is actually putting that on. I'm actually going to be there because I'm on the production team. But for those who are participating, it actually starts at 7:30 in the morning. Last time I took it, we actually wrapped at 10:30 at night on the Saturday. The Sunday, we started at 7:30 in the morning again and went straight till 6. So it's pretty intensive, but
it's you keep yourself busy.
I do, but I thank you.
No, there's no time for acting, but this could have been one of those opportunity knocks. You never know.
That is, although if you don't find what you're looking for, who knows? You might just say, "Hey, Caroline, you're absolutely perfect for this." So,
we'll be in touch. We'll be in touch.
I might be able to bypass the auditions, and I know you can't really say that on air because in that way, if people listen to this podcast.
And there is no casting couch.
Pardon me?
There is no casting couch.
Darn.
Sorry. this is a clean family show.
All about sexuality. Well, I do fully expect it's very important to talk about sexuality.
Actually, by the way, it is important to say it is an adult show, and kids are not allowed.
Is there nudity in the show? I should ask that.
I feel compelled not to answer anything.
You're really intriguing me.
If I said no, how would that affect you? If I said yes, how would that affect you?
I don't know. I think it doesn't matter as long as it's not gratuitous nudity. I am all for it. It doesn't really matter.
You know, that's when we met, isn't it, Caroline? going nude swimming at Rec Beach.
No, I actually met you at Halloween, actually.
Or was before, just before that. That's one of my earliest memories of...
I love to hear your history unfolding.